1 John chapter number 2. We'll continue on with our studying here. And each lesson I enjoy even that much more as we continue to go into it. You see a lot of warning. You see a lot of good advice, or just a lot of plain teaching. Just tells us what's going on in this day and time. And John, he's just being truthful with those in the church, just explaining to them what these latter times are like. We'll see that tonight. We'll see the Antichrist and Antichrists mentioned. Want to talk about that a little bit tonight also, kind of seeing that a little bit more detail than maybe sometime there in the past. But tonight I just really want to preach on the topic of trusting truth. Trusting truth. And I really try to put a lot into a title simply for the fact of that's where our minds need to be focusing on for that block of context. When we see it that way, I know my Bible, it says the creed of our conduct or affirmation. But when I see what it talks about here is just plainly trusting what the Bible tells us and not getting confused or messed up with everything around us. I think tradition, emotions, philosophy, somebody always said, my so-and-so used to always say, some of those things, if we're not careful, that turns into, well, you know, the Bible says. And the Bible doesn't say that. It's just something that we've heard and we've kind of conditioned it to think that maybe it's in the Bible when in reality it's not. And that can really cause confusion. And then the lines get blurred with what truth really is. Not saying that what people are saying isn't true. Maybe sometimes it is. But what does the Bible say? That's what we really need to focus on, especially in these last days, because it seems like as we move forward, things get more and more far-fetched. And the sin of yesterday, Brother Nathan, doesn't seem as far-fetched now as it did then. We get conditioned to that. And that really hurts us in the church. That hurts us in our faith. That's where it becomes religion. It's funny. I remember watching some of these shows with Mom and Dad. Sometimes maybe they'd have specials on. And of course, I was too young for it, but Dad was telling me about it before. But the Ed Sullivan Show. And you remember, I've seen some head shaking, you know, and about the time the Elvis and the Beatles came and all that kind of stuff. And they would only record from like the chest up or something like that because it was so provocative and so crazy. And I would laugh. I'm like, really? That's bad? Yeah, it wasn't my time. Well, the Lord doesn't change, but look where we are today. Look what we see on TV today. There used to be actually a time that the bad stuff came on after a certain hour when the kids are supposed to be asleep and everything, and Mom and Dad would, you know, or whoever, sin is sin regardless of why. There's no age limit on it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care how old we are. But you remember how that is, and now there's no limitations really. There's no limitations at all. You can watch TV. People make their own videos on YouTube. Just everything's kind of out there, and the lines get really blurred, I think, with young people. And they really need to see the truth and just stay with it and understand what the truth is. The truth doesn't change. Beautiful thing about that in law enforcement, when talking about interview interrogation, you know, used to be one of my favorite things to do, interview somebody. And I had to learn, the first time I interviewed somebody, I asked them, did you do it? And they said, no, I didn't do it. And I was like, all right, that's what I needed to know, you know, real affirmative. And they left, and my captain said, well, how'd it go? Did you get the confession? Well, they didn't do it. He just grinned. He said, Jason, they're all going to tell you that. You got to get in there, and you got to get with it to get the truth out. But what I want to say about that is the truth never changes. If you're interviewing somebody, and they're telling you the truth, there's usually this feeling you get that you know, I believe they're telling the truth. Sometimes it's harder than others. But if you keep interviewing somebody and that truth starts changing just a little bit and just a little bit and just a little bit, they were not telling you the truth. If you can move somebody off the truth, then they're not telling you the truth. And how dangerous that is when we talk about our faith. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, and seeing just simply trusting truth, just staying with God's word and trusting truth. 1 John chapter number 2, we'll go through verses 18 through 27 tonight. Says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. That's a sign of the time. And this last time we're talking about here, that's the time from Jesus' first advent, or him coming to this earth, all the way to the point where he left, where he ascended back into heaven. This is the last time. And they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, talking about people that were in the faith with these disciples, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, and that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So some false teachers, false doctrines went out. Really focus on this encouragement here. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is that liar but he that denieth that Jesus is Christ? He is Antichrist, he that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and given as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Josh, I'll ask you if you'll lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, dear God, we want to thank you for this opportunity for us to be back in your house tonight, God. We want to thank you for all the many blessings that you put in our lives, God. I pray for Dad tonight as he gives a message to us, Lord. I pray that he can help with someone tonight, God. I pray that throughout the rest of the night, he can keep us safe in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate that tonight. We go back to verse number 18, again, talking to little children, talking to those, he's talking to believers. It says, little children, it is the last time. That's a warning. It's saying, this is the last time. This is the time that we're living in. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, and that's singular. And there's a couple of different definitions of Antichrist if you look at the word anti. A couple of things I want us to take note of. But ye have heard, and we have heard, we've heard that preached our entire life, that the Antichrist is coming. He's going to be coming from the Jewish nation. The Jewish people will accept him and receive him and be denied by him or deceived by him. And that's what's going to take place during the tribulation period. He's going to have all the answers. We can see how everything seems wrong and is getting worse and worse in this day and time. We're seeing that. It's easy for us to see and understand what's being taught here. That Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And you look at the word anti, that means against or opposite. We understand what that means tonight, or contrary. Just like those waves on Sunday, they were contrary. They're tossed to and fro. So anyone that denies Jesus is the Son of God, anyone that denies him, the placement that he is, that is an antichrist. He's against God. But also, I want us to see that the word anti also means in place of. In place of. That is the Antichrist. You know, I see people today with human nature and how people are, the flesh. They're rebellious and do things, and I guess you would say anti, but I don't know necessarily that they're not all people. Some people are, but not all people are just trying to be against God. Some people are just wanting to follow whatever the flesh wants. If it feels good, do it. And that is a form, if you want to use the small a, they're a form of Antichrist. They're being against. They're against the Spirit of God. They're not following the Holy Spirit. They're anti. But when you think about the Antichrist, you think about Satan. He wants to be in place of. He wants to exalt himself to a place above Christ. He wants to be Christ. He wants to take the place of everything that you see. That's what's so deceptive about Satan or the Antichrist, is it's such a replica of what Jesus is. If you see everything, the pale horse, you see everything that's coming, it is so close to the untrained eye, the unlearned eye, that I can see why a person would be deceived. All the miracles and the powers that Satan has, the things he can do, he can easily confound us. And if he replicates or tries to replicate Christ, then I can see how that would be confusing. But if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you know pretty quick if the spirit of Antichrist or the spirit of Christ is there. Would you not agree? Does that not make sense? And sometimes you might not be able to say, I know this is exactly why this is wrong, but sometimes it just doesn't feel right and something goes off on the inside. This just don't feel right. I shouldn't be around this. I shouldn't be taking part in this. And see, we can know that, but I want to read this again. A couple of verses that I'd read last time in Isaiah 14. Just to really let us know how far Satan is willing to take this. The spirit of Antichrist, what that means. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, it says, "For thou hast said in thine heart." This is what Satan said in his heart. If you slow down and look at it, he saw all the magnificence that Jesus had, all the praise. He was a part of that. You know, we see the singing here tonight. But you imagine the Antichrist sitting here and seeing that and thinking they're singing about Jesus in that manner. They're praising him and they're worshiping him. And you know, I want them to sing about me that way. Why don't people think about me like that? Why aren't people praising me like that? And it wasn't something that just landed here in his head. It got down in his heart. He said, I want that. If you ever thought about the true spirit of covetousness, wanting what somebody else has, Satan is the one who created that. I mean, you can see it. It's very, very clear here. It's identified here. It says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven." I'm going to go beyond. I am going to go into heaven. Now, when you think about little antichrists, what we're talking about here on earth, the littles, I don't necessarily think that they're saying it like that. I think they're the type that's, I just kind of want to do what I want to do. But maybe not taking it to this level. But that's where that spirit of rebellion comes from. That's the lead rebellion spirit. And it's what is being said in the heart. You really want to get to know yourself better? Focus on what you think about every day. Focus on where your mind is at every day. What you spend your time thinking about, researching, what you spend your time migrating to. That's going to tell you a whole lot about your heart and who you really are. That's how people are. Where you look is where you're going to drive. I've done that one time, several times. And I remember leaving Mountaindale one afternoon. Dad used to let me drive before I had my license and learning how to drive, just a mile up the road. And Preacher Bill was sitting right there on his porch. And I was proud, man. I was driving the Monte Carlo, and I was like, look at me, I'm driving. So I'm looking at him, and he starts going, and I'm like waving. He's like, and I looked down, and I was almost to hit his mailbox. His mailbox is right there across the road. I was like, oh. So I pull back over and wave. Where you look is where you're headed. Where you fix your heart on, that's where you're heading. Where you're spending your time. And you see, that is how that was. You think about before Satan was kicked out of heaven. That's exactly what took place here. He's leading the singing. He's leading the praise. And he's taking this in, and he's doing this, and I'm doing this for Christ, I'm doing this for God the Father, I'm doing this for them, but I want that. See, that's where that started. That's where that took place. "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven." You see all the I wills here. I will. "I will exalt thy throne, my throne, above the stars of God." I'm going to supersede you. I don't know that I've ever even talked to anybody that's talked like that. So these little antichrists, as bad as they are, we are no match for this one. This is a very elevated position that he's trying to place himself in. "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." Talking about the third heaven. "I will be like the Most High." So if you know his motives, if you really want to find out again about a person, how to help them or where their mind, their heart is, you find out what motivates them, and that will tell you a lot about that person. I know most often or a lot of times when we were in interview interrogation, everybody that you'd interview to, you got to be careful, but for the most part, there was nobody like Mama. If you wanted to get down to the truth, you start talking to them about Mama, and that gets them down into feeling mode. That's a lot of times they can disappoint a lot of other people, but they don't want to disappoint mom. That was the motivation. Just don't tell mom. Don't do this. But you see the motivation here of the Antichrist. He wants to place himself, and he believes he can. Again, this is a much bigger topic. You think about the Battle of Armageddon, and when this is set up in Jerusalem, what that is going to look like before the saints return with Christ in the millennium. That is a big deal to think about. But that is what Satan has said in his heart. That's the spirit of Antichrist. It's rebellion. And as we move forward, you see whole new levels of rebellion. And it makes it look like yesterday's rebellion was really nothing, but it absolutely was. And it absolutely is. But we're seeing how we're progressing in this last time. It seems like it's happening much more faster in these last days. And they went out from us. It's talking about people who were with them. Other disciples, other teachers, other preachers that was together in a group. It would be like if some of us here went out and we started teaching or preaching other things. So I wouldn't do that. Who would do that? Why would somebody do that? If you know the truth and the truth is absolutely set, why would we try to change that? You'd be crazy to change that, wouldn't you? That's where my thoughts are. That's where my mind goes when I think about it that way. But it says they went out from us and they were not of us, for if they had been of us, if they had been true converted people, if they had been true, they would not have no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us, made known. So you can see a line. Really tried to focus on this verse just a little bit to see what changed. Once upon a time in fellowship and very committed, doing everything right, trying to be who God would have them to be, and all of a sudden there's a change. My thoughts on this, and this is just my thoughts in studying this, I believe people, you talk about Satan trying to ascend into heaven, okay? Well, we can't bring Christ down. We can't. Who can do that is what he's saying. But if a person finds himself in a place of sin, again, darkness, but in a place of sin, and they can't conquer that sin, I believe they become so confident or so comfortable with it, they try to make it an acceptance. They start looking around at other people and say, well, you're no different than me. How many times have you heard that? Where do you think a lot of these false religions and these cults and things come from? I think sometimes people, they start out like it looks like it's a good faith or it looks like it's good, but then they pervert it in some way. There's some form of acceptance of sin. That's what makes it wrong. That's what makes it away from the truth. Not trying to be confusing here tonight, but I want us to see this. If you have a person that is steadfast, and I've seen many, and I think you have too, that's steadfast, this is right and this is wrong, until they get caught in the wrong, and that wrong all of a sudden doesn't look so wrong anymore. And people change, but see, God doesn't change. We have to trust the truth always. If I break the law, I still break the law. The law does not respect me. It doesn't say, well, Jason went 56 and a 55. We'll let it slide. I still broke the law. I'm guilty. But what human nature says, when the officer walks up to the side of the car and the guy hands out his credentials, don't you know who I am? A lot of people say, I really don't care who you are. Let me see your driver's license and registration. How many videos have you seen of people trying to say, don't you know who I am? And try to get out of that violation. If people aren't careful, I believe that is exactly what's taking place in church. People who once were steadfast in the faith, that have fallen from that because of a position that they put themselves in or position that they're in. Don't you know who I am? See, that's something, it's becoming a respecter of persons. But see what it's saying here in verse 19, that it's going to be made manifest. They're going to be made known. But I believe that's where a lot of false doctrines and a lot of false teachings come from, where people, they can't reconcile their sin. They try to justify it and they try to stay in it, even though we both know it's wrong. But they try to do that, I believe. I can see that. Hebrews 9:22, it says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. See, God has his order of how to get forgiveness. And it cost Jesus his life. He gave his life for our sin. You see how it is with false religions, how those things come in. Acts 3:19, though, it says, "Repent ye therefore, and be ye converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." It requires repentance. You can't stay in the same place, and that's, I want us to see that line here tonight. Verse number 20, it says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, that ye know all things." Unctions, that's an anointing, a softening. It's also, if you look in the Greek definition, but it goes all the way back, and I really don't look into those most often, but it's like a salve. That's something that a person puts on. I remember when I was dealing with, and I believe Brother Bill probably remember as well, I remember we're kind of going through this about the same time, but I remember being under such conviction. And I asked a preacher, I said, "Now, if I surrender to preach, will all this conviction, will all this uneasiness, will that be relieved? Will that go away?" And he said, "I don't think you want it to go away." And how true that is. That's a big difference. There is no true unction in someone who falls away from the truth. They might try to do it. They might try to have a form and a function. They might try to have the emotionalism, try to make up all these other things to try to make it look like it's real, but it's not real because it's not in the Spirit. It's not in truth. I thank God for the singing that we felt tonight, just not heard, but we felt. That's a big difference. That unction. Verse 21, it says, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lies of the truth." He is saying, stay with the truth. Trust the truth. You're going to hear a lot of things. I look at our young people and how I want to protect them. Think about them very often, especially with the school system and just talking to parents, what's on their hearts, what's on their minds. I spoke with a parent today for probably close to an hour, trying to decide about private school, homeschool, public school. That's a lot to think about. You know, I thank God that Josh is older, and as we see things and topics progress, it gets harder maybe sometimes to express what the truth is. I mean, or show them, because they're hearing so much out and about. And you think, well, I will protect them. Well, how long do you protect them? How long can you keep your children out of the world? We're all in the world. We're all exposed to things. We're all facing things and dealing with things. But what he is saying right here, "I have not written unto you because you know not the truth." You do know the truth, but because you know it, and that lie is, and no lie is in the truth. Verse 22, it says, "But who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is Christ?" He is Antichrist. He denieth the Father and the Son. So we see the whole truth that is being laid out here before us. He's saying to stay with it. There's no place for watering it down. When you know that someone is not telling you the truth, stay away from them. Don't listen to them. Don't be deceived by them. One thing I warn against here is thinking along the lines of not becoming legalistic, not taking it too far. I know human nature a lot of times says, well, if this is wrong, then I'm going to be so right. I'm going to be way over here. And I think it'd be easy to become legalistic. We got to stay with the truth and understand that tonight also. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. He that denieth the Father and the Son. You know, when I talk to people about who Jesus is and they say, well, I don't know that he's the Christ. I don't know that he's the Messiah. But I believe he was a good person. They don't know the Father. To know Jesus is to know the Father. To know who the Father is, you have to know Jesus. It's a package situation. You have to know them both, and you have to understand that. We'll read a little bit more about that also. Verse 23, it says, "Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." Let's turn to John 14 for just a minute. John 14, verse number 8. It is not hard to get somebody to tell you that they believe there is a God or a higher power, a higher being. I've heard people say it that way. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about atheism, agnostic, Gnostic. So there's a lot of different kind of philosophies that people get in their minds that pervert what the truth is. It doesn't take you long if you're witnessing to somebody. If you ask them, who is Jesus? It tells you pretty quick, pretty close where they're at and what that means. We see this question here, John 14, verse 8. It's Philip talking here. It says, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then, show us the Father? You should be recognizing this is what he's saying. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Jesus didn't take the credit. He pointed everything to God the Father. But it was through him that we get to God the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus is explaining the deity, the difference between God the Father and God the Son. Many people will say, I know God. I believe there's a God. And they think in their mind that they've accepted Christ, but yet you ask them about Jesus, they don't know who he is. See, that's what's being explained here. It's breaking down from being on top of the surface and getting down to who the Lord really is. Verse number 24, and it says, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, trusting truth, staying with the truth. As times change and even as sin becomes more vulgar or things become much more violent or what have you, that what he's saying is wrong is still wrong and right is still right. Stay in the right. Stay with the Lord. Stay with the truth. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. What you've been taught in God's word in the Bible. This is something I wanted to say right here also. I think sometimes teachers and preachers get to a place or can get to a place that they feel like they're saying, teaching the same thing. And to catch people's attention, they want to say something different to catch their attention. Like, no, wait, did he really say that? But see, the truth, again, the truth doesn't change. That's the beautiful thing about the Bible. We're talking at the beginning about when you're getting a confession or getting the truth. When somebody's telling you the truth, it never changes. That's what God's word is. It never changes. The truth stays the same. If you start hearing something different, you should know real quick, something's not right. Something's wrong here. The truth does not change. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. That's a mark of a true teacher, true preacher, true doctrine. Not one that's being false. I really like this verse here. And it would be easy to misquote. But I looked at it very close. And I want us to see this here. Verse number 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And it, the promise. See, there's many promises. I have a Bible book, a book of promises. But this is the promise. The promise. When you see that word, you see things come together. He's talking about the promise. Hebrews 13, 5, it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's promised that he will always be with us. Most all the songs, Brother Nathan, that's what the undertone of those songs were tonight. You know, we're never alone. We always have him with us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always with us. That comforts me. But are we always with him? Are we always staying within his truth? I like what 2 Peter says here. 2 Peter 3:9. I'll be closing here soon. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Is that what it says? If you look back and see what it says, I always thought that's what it said. I always thought it said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. But it says his promise. So many people worry about or wonder about eternal life, but the Bible is so specific and so clear, it calls it his promise. The promise, his promise. Two places right there. Singular. If there's one thing in this life that we can be assured of is if you have accepted Christ, that is an eternal decision. It does not go away. You can't lose that. It doesn't go anywhere. You don't lose that. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, those that try to pull you aside, try to change your mind, try to confuse you. I'm talking to everyone, preaching, teaching to everyone tonight, but I think a lot about our young people because they're hearing so much. And I want our young people to know you can trust in the truth. God's word is the truth. That's the standard. Talking about votes and talking about things that may come down the line. And I was talking with the parent. I said, the only thing that I know to do is whatever the Bible says is vote that way. Stay that way. God promises here, all in his word, he promises us he's going to take care of us. It doesn't matter what the majority or what the opposition thinks. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. It's a warning to stay away from those that are trying to lie to people, lead people astray. Verse 27, we'll close with this tonight. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. What I really want us to take away from this verse tonight is be careful who you read after. Be careful who you study after. If you really want to know what God's word says, honestly, stay in his word and let the Holy Spirit teach you. He will do that. You know, when I first started preaching, Brandy will tell you, on a Saturday, I would study all day long, literally. She said, is it going to be like this all the time? You know, I mean, there's mowing to do, there's chores to do. I mean, are you going to do this every Saturday? It's like, honey, I've got to know this. I've got to understand these things. When you start studying the Bible, what it seems like for the first time, if you start taking it really serious and you're really trying to learn as much or all that's in there, you know, the first thing I started doing, I would read a little bit, but then what I migrated to, and I'm being truthful, I started reading a lot of commentaries. And if you're not careful, you'll be reading what somebody else may or may not have gotten from the Lord. I'm not saying it's all bad, and I'm not saying you can't find good things. You can. But the Bible is written in such a way that you can trust it as it is. You can study it page by page as it is. That's the beauty of trusting the truth. It's not the Bible and something else. If we study it in the right manner, the right faith, the right confidence in the Lord, the Holy Spirit, he is teaching us here. He will show us what it means. And you have no need to wonder, did I get that right? I tell you, Brother Bill, when I first started preaching, I was so afraid I was going to tell somebody something wrong. And so I would try to get as many viewpoints. But the more I studied and thanked the Lord, the more I tried, and I'm still growing. Got a lot of growing to do, but the more I grew in it, I found, you know, I'm better off just to take the Bible and study it. And if I don't know a word, look that word up. That's what he's teaching here. This anointing. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking to people who have received the Lord. Ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a need for teachers and preachers. There absolutely is. But what he's saying is you have the ability to study for yourself. You have the ability to see for yourself. Everybody does. It's of no private interpretation. He's saying we all have that and we all should be doing that. And you can trust what the Holy Spirit tells you. And you don't have no need or no worry of wavering. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. What the Lord teaches you to do, do it. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's telling us. Don't get caught up in false religions, false philosophies, all the things that's being taught out there and pushed out there from the Antichrist, the little Antichrist, the spirit of rebellion. Stay in the truth. And I see it from that perspective. That tells me our responsibility as the church, mine as a pastor, teachers, is to get the truth out. Get it to people. That's why I appreciate so much about the ministries that we have, going out of the church, elementary school, all the way into college. That's what our function as the church is to be. But that's the lesson tonight. I appreciate your good attention. Hope I didn't get too far off in the weeds. Try to stay focused on it. We'll have our time of prayer tonight. And